1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll just spend a few moments. We're continuing a study, Courageous, Honor Beginning at Home. And again, just want to invite you to participate in our Sunday morning class at 9:30, and also on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, where we split up into men and women. And we're going to do this throughout the remainder of the month of March. So just want to invite you, if you've not been part of that so far, it's all right to jump in right at the point where we're at, and hopefully you will benefit from that experience. 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse number 30, a familiar story. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. Then the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We are continuing this journey relating to family and fatherhood. We are continuing this call to not abandon our children, but to be led and empowered by God and His Holy Spirit to impact our children in the name of Jesus. We have been suggesting that we are in need of men and women who are willing to be courageous when it comes to family. We have been calling for men, women, the married and the single, to step up and to step out in faith for our children. This morning, I want to repeat an idea that I have maintained ever since I came to Reynoldsburg. I want to make it plain and clear that as we make this call for members in this body to be more active in their families and in the lives of their families, and as we make this call for men and women to allow yourselves to be vulnerable and open about the challenges you face in families, as we make these calls, we want you to know that you do not have to do this alone. I am not asking you to move to a deserted island where you face your giants all by yourself. I'm not asking you to be lone rangers. I'm suggesting you understand that you are part of a team. And if we are comparing our plight to a sport, we are not playing golf where it's every man for himself, or every man for every tree. No, we're playing football where what I need you to be successful as a part of the team. As a part of a team, I need you to be successful so that I can be successful. You need me to be successful so that you can be successful. There are periods as part of this team where you're going to pick up my slack. I'm going to pick up your slack. We are part of a team. Elijah on Mount Carmel, not the hospital, had a great challenge before him as he faced off against the prophets of Baal. And his success was not at all solely determined on his own performance. It may appear that Elijah was alone on this mountain in this contest with the followers of this false god Baal. It may seem that it was one versus many as he faced off against over 400 prophets. He faced the prophets of Baal with Elohim, his creator, on his side. You see, he wasn't alone. He faced the false prophets of Baal with Jehovah Jireh as his partner. So he knew that all his needs would be provided. He faced off with Jehovah Rophi, so he knew he would be shepherded in this battle. Walking the walk that we are calling for when it comes to family, church, is a team sport, and you are on the team of the Lord. You're not alone. You're on a team. This is the truth that is foundational in everything that we do in life. Whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, we need to be reminded that we are not alone. Whether we have troubled marriages or troubled children, we are never alone. Now, I'm not just saying this because it sounds cool to say. I'm saying it because it's truth. The same God that was on Mount Carmel with Elijah during his battle is with us in our challenges and our battles in our own families. And as G.I. Joe used to say, knowing is half the battle. Clearly knowing who is on our team helps us to clearly identify who or what we're fighting. This is why we need re-examination when it comes to fighting. I grew up watching adults fighting each other over Bible verses. I grew up watching adults fighting with other churches. I grew up with brothers in Christ fighting with other brothers in Christ to see who was more important. And meanwhile, their children and their spouses were checking out. They were checking out of the faith. Some of these spouses and children haven't stepped inside a church in years. Why? Because these men were more concerned about fighting for church and not fighting for their families. If we believe that the world is in competition with us for the souls of our children, we need to turn the fight to this culture and the ideals that are stealing our children away. And once we recognize the influences that are damaging our families, church, we need to fight. We need to fight for our family. We need to fight for your wife or fight for your husband. You need to fight for your sons and for your daughters. Fight the real enemy. That's why it's so sad to report to you that so many ministers of the gospel are no longer preaching the gospel. And so many ministers of the gospel are no longer with their families. Why? Because they spent so much time and energy fighting for church and not fighting for their families. It's a sad commentary. And if you see Dion fighting more for church and not fighting for his family, you need to call me out. You need to grab me by these big old ears or grab me by one of these big lips and say, hold on, bro. I know I got some big lips. I know I got some big lips. It's a sad commentary that there are so many men and women in churches that have been fighting so long against other churches and fighting with other Christians about Bible verses. Meanwhile, their kids get caught up in the crossfire. And we're losing our kids. Shouldn't be. And when we fight the real enemy, we need to remember who is on our team. The Lord is on our side. It's like the psalmist who writes in Psalm 24, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but I know I have a star player on my team. No matter how good I might be, I'm going to defer consistently to him. If I'm playing basketball, you know, the idea is if you're on a basketball team with a star player, you just keep feeding them. Just keep feeding them the rock and let the star player do his deal. Our job as fathers and mothers of in the faith isn't to be heroes and to do it all by ourselves. It is to admit that we need God and to depend on him for everything. You see, lone rangers hijack God's glory, but team players recognize their supporting role. Lone Rangers operate their way. You see, team players operate God's way and always end up being surprisingly blessed. You see, Lone Rangers pride themselves on doing it alone, while team players realize they are never alone and rejoice because of it. I've preached on Elijah before, and I suggested that Elijah's story was a story of ups and downs. He's up when he's victorious with God on the mountain. He's down as he realizes that Jezebel, the evil queen, has a bounty on his life. After this great victory on Mount Carmel, where he defeated the prophets of Baal, Elijah runs away and finds himself alone. 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.'" Speaking to Elijah, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life when he came to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Even after such a powerful, fantastic, cosmic victory, Elijah felt like he was no good and he was ready to die. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt like you've done all you can do? You've given all you can give, and you feel it's just not enough. My wife or my husband doesn't love me the way that I need her or him to love me. My children don't listen to me. I've done all I could do. They just won't listen to me. I've done everything right by my child. Why are they rebelling? My family is in ruins, and I'm sick of this. You ever felt that way? Some of us would be lying if we said we have never felt those feelings or thought these thoughts. Elijah was there, and he was ready to check out. God reaches out and speaks to Elijah as he has done oftentimes. Dropping down to verse 11 in chapter 19, it says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire came a gentle whisper." When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. I've said oftentimes that sometimes we need to be quiet and we need to be still and we need to listen for that gentle whisper of God. In some of your translations, that small, still voice. Sometimes we need to stop trying to do so much, try to do everything, try to work at it, try to fix it, sometimes we need to sit down and be still to hear God's gentle whisper. Elijah replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him." Church, we're never alone because God is with us. And we're never alone because seemingly as a reinforcement of God's desire to convince us that we are never alone, he has given us, wait for it, each other. Sometimes we think we're the only one going through it. But history and life says that when I'm going through something, it's very likely that someone else is going through the exact same thing. So are you having a struggle raising your kids? So is someone else in this body. Are you having difficulty in your marriage? So is someone else in this body. Are you trying to be better at fulfilling God's purpose for your life? So is someone else right here in this body. But you see, we are fooled into thinking that we're the only one. And consequently, we are left alone to deal with the stuff that we are not made to deal with. We've not been created to deal with this stuff by ourselves. I know that some of us are ashamed to admit that we are having struggles in our family. I know that some of us are ashamed to admit that we are having marital problems. I know that some of us would much rather keep to ourselves our hurts, our disappointments, and our failures. And I know that if we keep it to ourselves, it will eat us alive. And this is why we need to invite people in. We need to invite people into our stories as not to be consumed by our challenges and our struggles. I love the words of the Apostle Paul who writes this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Many of us come in here week in and week out with a brick load of burdens. And I'm here to tell you that God did not create you to carry those burdens by yourself, but ask to fulfill what it means to be in Jesus Christ. Let me help you carry those bricks. As a way to fulfill the law of Christ, let that person sit next to you help you carry those bricks. This is what it means to be family. This is what it means to be in relationship. This is what it means to not be lone rangers, but to be team players. If you're struggling in your marriage, that is not a burden that you have to carry by yourself. If you're struggling with what it means to be a father or to be a mother or to be a wife or husband, that is not a burden that you have to carry by yourself. It was the idea of team player that allowed Adam in the film Courageous to invite his fellow officers into a more intimate relationship relating to fatherhood. If you watch the film, remember this clip. Let's watch this clip.
All right. For everybody's stuff, I'm going to tell you why I had you come over here today.
It isn't because you just can't get enough of us?
Sorry, no. I'm going to ask you a favor. Bobby?
Resolution?
Yeah. For a while now, I've been struggling what kind of dad I was to Emily, what kind of father I'm being to Dylan.
Adam, you're being too hard on yourself. I mean, you've been a good enough father.
That's just it. I don't want to be a good enough father. We have a few short years to influence our kids. Whatever patterns we set for them will likely be used for their kids and the generation after that. We have the responsibility to mold a life. And I don't think that should be done casually. And half the fathers in this country are already failing, and I don't want to be one of them.
Okay. Look, I'm all for spending more time with our kids, but don't you think you're taking this a little too far?
Shane, it goes way beyond just spending time with your kids. That should be a given. Now, I'm talking about setting the standards that they need to aim for in life.
What kind of standards?
Well, when did you first think of yourself as a man?
What?
No. I mean, when did you first think I'm a man now?
Come on. You can't be serious. We are not talking about this.
No, you just humor me for a second. Think about it.
Maybe when I moved out. Or when I turned 21. I don't know.
So when you're legal?
Yeah.
What about you, Shane?
I don't know. I mean, when I got my license, or my first job. I mean, what does it matter?
Bobby?
When my father told me I was... When I was 17, he had to leave for 3 months to do a job. He told me that he thought of me as a man. He wanted me to take care of the family.
I'm learning that God wants me to call out the man in my son. I can't do that lightly. I can't be passive about that. I got these things from studying scripture. I want to sign this as a resolution of what kind of father I want to be to Dylan. And I'm giving you guys permission to keep me accountable.
Can I sign this too?
Fine. Adam, if you're going to do this, maybe we should all just sign it.
No. I'm not asking you guys to sign anything. I need this. Dylan needs this. If you guys think you want to sign it, at least take a few days to think about it. I'm not doing this lightly.
Think about when I knew I was a man. It was the first time I had to put gas in my own car and I didn't have any money. Grow up real quick right then, don't you? Start using that change in the ashtray. I love that the character constantly said, we. And I love that the character said, I need this. And I love that the character says, I'm inviting you to keep me accountable. We need to invite others into our lives because we need this. Now, I know I might be speaking more to the men on this issue, but we need to let our guard down and invite others in. I know it might be macho. I know it might be macho to do things on our own and to fix things on our own and to deal with our own challenges. But macho doesn't mean beneficial or healthy. Carry each other's burdens, the text says. And in doing this, you fulfill the law of Christ. Back in 1996, I'll be brief as we close. Back in 1996, during the presidential election, Bob Dole was running against Bill Clinton. I remember Hillary Clinton said something. She was giving a speech or something that people went crazy over. She quoted an African proverb. A lot of people didn't know it was an African proverb. The African proverb goes like this. It takes a village to raise a child. Y'all remember that? A lot of people jumped on it. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a parent to raise a child. That's a misunderstanding of what that proverb means. It takes a village to raise a child suggests, one, the living condition of many people in Africa who lived in clans, who lived in tribes. And the understanding was that an individual was only going to be as good as his family. The family was going to be only as good as the clan. The clan is only as good as the tribe. It was just this family sort of setup. In my own neighborhood, that was something that the neighbors on our street took very seriously. If I did something wrong down the street, the neighbors had permission from my mother, even unspoken. They didn't come and ask. They didn't call my. They had permission to discipline me. And whatever discipline meant to them, that's the discipline I got. Then they, after they disciplined me, they would take me home and mama would discipline me too. And then mama would tell dad and he would discipline me too. It takes a village to raise a child. You know, we've grown to a point in our communities where we're afraid to help out in each other's families. Because we don't know what the other family is going to say. We don't know what the other family is going to do. let's not speak about our neighborhoods for a second. Let's just talk about church. When are we going to let our guard down? When are we going to invite people in? When are we going to just confess and admit that, man, we're having struggles in our families and we're going to allow others to step in and help us? I don't know what that means. Maybe it means spending some time with other families. Maybe it means spending some time talking to other families about things that they do in their families. Maybe it's about letting my kids hang around some kids that model good behavior. Maybe when it comes to marriages, if I'm struggling in a marriage, maybe I want to hook up with a married couple that's doing things right so I can get some of that wisdom. How many people in here have been married for 40 years or more? Could you stand up? Just stand up. 40 years or more. Oh, my goodness. Do you see this wisdom in here? Maybe I need to, wait, don't keep standing. Okay, well, sit down if you've been married. Keep standing if you've been married for 45 years or more. Stand up if you've been married for 50 years or more. Two couples in here have been married for 50 years. Let's have lunch. You can sit down, Margaret. I know you got some bad knees. That's all right. It's no mistake that we're in this room together. I want to hear about what it means to be married for 50 years. I want to know what it means to have raised kids and to have grandkids. Maybe this is why we're in this together. But we got to take off the masks. We got to take down the guards. We've got to let other people in. Because we need this. No more Lone Ranger stuff, all right, church? We're team players. So my invitation to you this morning is to do that very thing, to consider where you are at, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your parenting. And if there are true challenges there, if there are true struggles there, if there are some giants in your life that you're having difficulties defeating, I'm going to ask you right now to pray to God, to consult God, to lead you, to drop the guard, and to reach out. In a couple weeks, I'm going to ask the men of this church to consider a similar pledge, or perhaps the same pledge as the resolution. And we're going to commit to do that together. But by doing that, we are inviting other men into our lives. And that means that we're going to have to be confessional. It means that we're going to have to be honest. It means that we're going to have to stop allowing this stuff to build up in our lives because some of us got heart issues and we're sick. Some of us got so much stress. We've got ulcers because we won't release this stuff to other people. And as long as we keep that stuff in, I'm just here to tell you that the evil one is destroying you. Let's not give the evil one a victory, church. As we sing this song, Blessed Be the Tie, which is a song that I'm sure many of you grew up with. It's a song that we sing every Sunday at the end of service. We only sing the first verse, though. I look through the verses of this song, and it's a song of invitation to one another. That God would bless this tie that binds. So much so that we can share our mutual woes with one another. Cast your burdens on each other, for in doing so you fulfill the law of Christ. If you have a burden right now, if you've come in here with a brick load of burden, I want to be the first to say I want to help you carry it. And I would imagine that there are others sitting around you that said, I'll help carry your brick load. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. Not here to judge you. We're here to love you. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to profess faith in him, you want to be buried in baptism, you do that as well. But I want to invite you to be courageous enough to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, and to invite people into your story. Let's stand and let's sing this song.